Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
So keep your texts coming into 51551. Now I'm joined by director, choreographer, original and longest serving judge on Strictly Come Dancing, and most recently, the Wicked Witch of the West, Craig Revel-Horwood. Great to see you. Fabulous to see you, darling.
Oh, yes, it is fabulous, darling. It's wonderful being here in Ireland. I'm loving it.
It is such a pleasure to meet you. I have been a long-time fan, a long-time Strictly fan.
Yeah.
And you have just been, you know, on our screens for so long, being brilliant.
It does seem a lifetime. I had no idea. I mean, literally, I gave it 3 weeks.
Right.
And then I thought it'd be off. I thought no one's going to be interested in this show. And then, of course, how wrong I was, darling. It's gone to 61 countries worldwide, broken the Guinness Book of World Records for the most produced format in the world. And, of course, you have Dancing with the Stars here yourself,
yes,
don't you?
Yes.
Well? And I did New Zealand Dancing with the Stars for 3 years. I'm still currently doing the Australian version of Dancing with the Stars as well. So it has sort of taken over my life, but not entirely, because as you did say, I'm playing the Wicked Witch of the West.
At
the Bord Gáis Theatre, which I am loving.
You are a fan of the Bord Gáis Theatre?
I am. It's because all the backstage is just so fantastic. It's like the dressing room is like bigger than my apartment. You know what I'm saying? It's huge.
And you do love playing a baddie. Like, we saw you playing Miss Hannigan last year here in Annie.
Are there any other roles than villains? You know, I'm not exactly what we call love interest anymore. You know, a juve lead I cannot play. So for me, the villains really stand out, and I love
them. And they're so much fun to play.
They are. And you can do a fantastic interpretation, you know, with all that villainous stuff, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I just love it. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
The Wizard of Oz, it has been a West End favourite for forever.
Yeah.
And so when you take on a role like The Wicked Witch, is it always a case that you try and bring something new? Are you looking back at previous people who've played it? Do they specifically write stuff for you? Like, how does that work?
Well, I think you have to bring yourself to it.
Yes.
And what you think of that part. Certainly, I do a character analysis and a breakdown of, you know, where she's been, why she is like she is as a human being, you know. And so the character comes from that and from Dorothy's mind, of course, because in the cyclone or whatever, you know, famous tornado, you know, bashes her head and all of that, and then has this, well, what's called a dream. We call it a dream, but actually, is it real? You know, because the slippers actually come back with her. So we're sort of playing it like they're two different places, but the characters are very vividly in Dorothy's mind.
Mm.
You know? So it's Dorothy's predetermined sort of thoughts about Miss Gulch that turns her into a wicked
green witch.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just even makeup-wise, I was looking at the makeup. How in the hell do you...
It's a drama. That's a drama because I don't have any makeup on as Miss Gulch. I prepped the false eyelashes. And that's it. I have nothing else on. I just look like Craig Revel-Horwood.
And then you go full green.
And then I go full green in 4 minutes.
Shut up. Is that how long it takes?
Yeah, it's really quick. It's so quick. I had to rehearse that. It's the backstage stuff is more worrying and time consuming and, you know, high energy than actually when I actually get on stage. When I'm on stage, I relax.
It's funny. I mean, you can see that in you, in your performance. The stage is somewhere you love to be.
Yeah,
I mean, we're also used to seeing you on TV, but when you see you on stage, it's like home.
Well, I love it. I have been doing it ever since I was 17 professionally. And West Side Story was my first one in Australia. I was originally Australian.
Mm.
And then I did loads and loads of musicals before I came over to London to do Cats and Miss Saigon, of course. And then once my theatre career sort of ran its toll, I suppose, up until the age of 30. I mean, you can't really dance beyond that because you're up against 16-year-olds, so it's really tough. And I thought, what am I going to do? And I thought, well, I'm going to direct and choreograph, darling. I didn't know at the time whether I could, but that's what I was going to try and do. So, and I loved that. And I did that for 16 years, just directing and choreographing. And I gave up performing entirely until I was offered a role in Panto as the Wicked Queen in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Of course, that led itself to playing Miss Hannigan. And, of course, that led straight into The Wicked Witch of the West, which has been fantastic.
And as well as dancing and doing your performance, it is like you exercise the pipes.
Oh, yes, I do a little bit of singing.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Well, actually quite a lot. There's a big song in Act Two that Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote with Tim Rice. And it's called Red Shoe Blues. And it's quite a sing. It's quite a difficult sing, but it's fantastic fun. You know, it's all about being fabulous and wanting these fantastic shoes, you know.
No better,
yeah,
man.
Well, you know, I did
pull it off.
I had my operation on my toes, and I was so nervous about putting heels back on. I thought, what if I can't wear heels? My whole show is about getting those shoes.
The first thing you did when you came into studio and walked down the steps there, I had to have a look at your feet
because
the last time you were on TV here, you were talking about your bunions.
Yes, exactly.
And getting
them. They're gone. And I'm back in heels. Thank goodness. So life couldn't be more perfect.
But how do you recover from something? Because I can imagine, in all seriousness, it must be a common complaint with dancers.
Yeah, it is.
People who have spent their entire lives putting that much exertion on their feet.
It's a serious issue as well, because it leads to ruptured skin, infection. I mean, it's a nightmare. And all I can suggest to anyone that has bunions, get them done. It's amazing. I mean, the surgery now is really not as fierce and gruesome as it used to be. I mean, I did say that, you know, they were chopping my toes off and putting them back on again, but actually they just take the knuckle out and then put the bone together again. So it's not
And how soon before you could get into your heels again?
6 weeks I had to wear those post-operative shoes. It wasn't a good look,
It doesn't really go with your persona.
No, it doesn't.
Craig.
No, but it was great. I was so pleased I got it done. And now I am pain-free.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Because anybody who lives with that chronic pain on a daily basis...
Yeah, well, you have to. As a dancer, that's what happens. You know, your feet are really massive part of your performing, you know, skill set. You know, you've got to use them in order to dance. So it was great getting it done. And I'm so pleased I did, because now I can wear fabulous shoes.
As I said, many of our listeners will know you from Strictly, but what they might not be aware of is that you have actually choreographed an array of stage shows and movies too. Tell us about the work that you did with Hugh Grant on Paddington 2. What
Paddington
a movie,
two.
First of all.
That was fabulous. And I was employed to choreograph the final sequence, which was 300 people, inmates, dancing very camply in a prison, because Paddington had put a red sock in the wash and all their uniforms, their prison uniforms, went pink. So we did.
So
I had so much fun. And Hugh was brilliant, because I said, look, I want to turn it into a tap routine. He said, I don't tap. I said, well, I can teach you to tap. So we spent 3 weeks literally just learning to tap. I mean, he put a lot of hours in. He really did. And he came up trumps in the end. It was fantastic.
It's amazing.
And he said, no, I want to do the tapping myself. So we recorded actually him tapping, and his beats actually went on the album. We didn't have to get anyone else to do it for him. So
incredible.
It was fantastic.
Can you teach anyone to dance?
I think you can. I mean, there are people, certain exceptions, that have been on the show. Anne Widdicombe, for instance, very difficult, but I think she got like a good 10 seconds out of her time on there. So I think if you persevere, anyone can dance. I mean, ballroom dancing is made for normal people, or people that are rhythmically challenged, or are challenged in any musical sort of form. You know, it's a very structured way of dancing. And it was social. You know, in the 50s, people had to dance, or they wouldn't meet anybody.
And what I do love about Strictly, and what I do love about Dancing with the Stars here, I love to dance. I absolutely love to dance. I love the freedom of it. And like yourself, I was very fortunate in my 20s. I did a lot of travel. So I saw the impact of dance culturally in places like Africa and Japan and Argentina and Brazil, you know, and it's incredible. It's a freedom.
Yeah.
And I love watching people of all ages, of all levels, coming together on a show like that, and people who are young, people who are old, people who have restricted sight.
Absolutely.
You know, and it just shows, and I that's what I love most about the shows, is it actually shows what is possible.
I agree. And it serves the community really well and brings communities together. And I think that's what makes it so unique and what keeps it moving forward. And you know, that how many times, you know, people sometimes don't like snooker or wouldn't think about watching snooker. Mm. But we've had snooker players on there. So that introduces the whole snooker crowd. And then everyone has got something in common, you know, to talk about at work. If you're a football fan or a rugby fan, and then we've got rugby and football people on the show,
yeah,
then you're going to be able to converse with them. You know, you have a common interest. And I think that's what's great about showing that all communities can get involved, no matter if you have a disability. You
know,
just to prove that it can be done.
Mm.
You know, and obviously as judges, we have to change as well.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
If you're wearing a blade, for instance, and you don't have a leg and you've got a blade instead, then you can't possibly do a heel lead.
Yes.
So, of course, we have to then weigh up how we're technically going to draw lines under it, you know. And I found it actually really stimulating and very, very easy to do, you know. And especially with Rose, of course, who was deaf, you know, I thought, how on earth is that sort of going to work? But, you know, vision is great, you know, because she used to just work with Giovanni and they'd work together seamlessly.
Yeah.
And he'd be her ears.
And
you know,
same,
and just incredible.
It is incredible.
And it's the same with people that are blind.
Yeah.
As well,
we had a contestant on Dancing with the Stars, and to see them work with their pro dancer together, it was mind blowing.
Yeah,
it was
so good. So, you know, that's what I love about it. It ticks lots and lots of boxes and doesn't disclude anyone.
Yeah. It is so, you're so nice chatting to me here now.
Oh, in real life.
But you have the persona. I think it's fair to say that you put the strict into strictly.
Yeah, well, I think that's important to me because dance is important to me. And I've been waving the dance flag for the last 20 years on that show. And I think it's important to prove to people that, you know, dance has to be studied.
Mm.
And it's not something you can just come in and do easily. You know, you have to, it takes a lot of skill and a lot of hard work in the studio. And I always think people can, you know, get better. And I think if I was to lie to people and say, oh, that was wonderful, darling, and then the next week they keep making the same mistakes, you know, there's no point in that. So I do put quite a strict and firm judge's hat on when I'm at the show in order to make them better and promote better dancing.
Well, have you ever regretted going hard on anybody over the years? You must have.
Well, no, not really. Okay. I've got to be honest. They deserved it. How they handle it is up to them, you know. But I mean, if you're an athlete, a gold medalist, and you want gold and not bronze, you're going to have to listen to who's ever training you. You know, I think it's really important to say, okay, I take the note. Thank you very much. You're only there to help. I mean, that's all they've got to think.
Yeah, yeah.
But unfortunately, we have a lot of actors and actresses who get very teary, darling, and take it personally, which you can't. You can't take criticism personally. You really have to learn. That's the first hurdle that one must jump over.
But the way the world has changed now, you've been doing Strictly for 20 years. Has it changed in terms of how you judge?
Yes, how you, because otherwise it could be misconstrued as bullying.
Yes, yes.
It could be just all negatives, people don't like anymore. So I always generally begin with what is wrong with it, so they need to fix it. But then I'll always back it up with something that I actually liked about the show. And I'll tell them something that they can go away with thinking, oh, he actually liked that bit of it, but didn't like that bit.
Mm.
So that's what I'll work on.
Nearly 300 celebrities have waltzed, jived and foxtrotted across the dance floor, 21 lifting the trophy. There's a few Irish in there.
Yeah.
Dermot Gavin, Daniel O'Donnell, Angela Scanlon, who was
utterly
fabulous. Nicky Byrne, lots of other people. Any other Irish contestant would you like to see more going on to Strictly? Anybody you'd like to see?
Yeah, well, Irish people, as I'm 33% Irish, because I found out my DNA done for months.
Oh, we'll
yeah,
have
which
you.
Is quite a high percentage.
Yes.
Have rhythm, you know, and I think the Irish people are just full of rhythm. You know, obviously Irish dancing has all of that, you know, as well. And I think it's a natural thing as well with your particular music sounds as well.
Mm.
You know, I think, you know, with the fiddle going, it's fantastic. You know, it's brilliant music. I just absolutely love Irish bands. So I think because you grew up with a lot of musicality, I think that does put you very much in a leading point on Strictly.
Mm. Are you back on the panel? this season?
Oh, yes. I will be back on the panel, darling. They'll be dragging me off that. I'm glued to it. I tell you what, don't give up your seat for one night. Otherwise, it'll be gone.
You are also coming back again next year with Now. Well, tell me about that.
I'm directing and I'm choreographing a music called Now. That's what I call a musical. And of course, it's based on all the Now compilation albums.
Oh,
and a
fabulous.
Lot of my fans I know will love it because they're about my age. If you're my age, like in your late 50s, darling, you're going to adore it because it's all music from the iconic 80s. And we are coming to Dublin on the 21st of January next year. And I'm proud to announce Sinita will be starring
Woo!
In it, darling.
Woo!
Giving us a little bit of macho. So that's going to be good.
Oh, love her.
Yeah, we've got drop-ins where the girls are in the show. There's the young versions of themselves, you know.
Yes.
So it's set in a reunion, basically. And then they look back into the 80s and see the compilation tapes and what music developed them as people, you know, and led them into the people that they are now. So we take a look at all of those wonderful tunes from Eurythmics, Human League, you know, absolutely fantastic. Boy George, we've got all that in there. I mean, it's so great to have a compilation being able to do these numbers because, of course, they would have been owned by the artist because they've been on the Now Universal label, darling. We can just pick and choose what you want. Yeah, what numbers we need.
Oh my God.
It's going to be a real romp down memory lane.
I will be front and centre for that. Craig, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us. You're back to the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre tonight. You're there until this weekend.
Yes, we're here until Saturday. So there's still tickets left, I think. You know, we've got matinees on Saturday as well. Lovely big old Friday night. It's a great show. Come and see it. You will love it. And it's one you can actually bring your children to, which they will adore as well.
Craig Revel Horwood, fabulous to see you, darling. And enjoy the last few runs.
Thank you so much. Been a great pleasure.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.